take your Bibles if you would. And take your Bibles. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, please. Hey, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much. Thank you. And what an honor it is to preach here. It's an exciting time. Wonderful, special. Thank you for that song, a great song. And I'll tell you what, this is a great, great season. I enjoy the Christmas holiday. And I know that you're looking forward to going home. And I look forward to you going home. So, but before that happens, we got a few things that we need to do. And pardon my voice. A couple weeks ago, I got the flu, and it's kind of left me with a bit of a cold. I feel fine, but just kind of stoved up. I was telling Brother Douglas and Brother Young, coming out about a week and a half ago, I was hunting, and came in the evening, and it was cold out. And of course, I was dressed for it, but man, with this cold, it was just all that phlegm in me. I'll be a bit gross, but it was just. I was coughing and hacking, and so I was heading home down 93rd here, and man, I just coughed up a big old lung biscuit, man. And I reached over, rolled down my window, and I just spit out an unbelievably huge hocker, and all of a sudden started coughing and hacking again, and coughed up another one. And I went to spit that one out, but when I pushed the button on my window to close it, or open it, I pulled it up, and it closed it. And so I turned to blow it out the window, and I went, and this big old juicy thing just running down my window. So I did as any real man or hunter. I just licked it up. No, I didn't. That part is not true. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you." This is Apostle Paul talking, and for them at Laodicea, and for them, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Obviously, you're going to get the idea that Paul had a great heart for these people, a great love for them. He'd put a lot of time and work into them. Verse 2 there, Colossians chapter 2. "That their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, and all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. Help us all to understand it. May it be encouraging to me as well as young people. Father, we do thank you for what you have done for us. None of us are here by ourselves. A lot of people worked hard to get us here. And we thank you for that. I ask your blessing now upon the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1862, the Transcontinental Railroad was commissioned. Now, this was a huge event for this country. It was at a time when the expansion of the East needed to go west and wanted to go west. The gold rush in California was big and popular, and many were taking trips out that way by wagon train, which began and from start to finish was at least a minimum of a 6-month journey. And so, though trains had gotten to the Midwest somewhat, the expansion of the train to the West Coast was commissioned. It took seven years to build, 6 years of construction, and thus linking the East Coast totally with the West Coast. 5,000 workers every single day worked on those, setting those rails, digging through tunnels, clearing timber, clearing lands and rocks, and paving a level way for trains to get through. Workers were in short supply, mainly because of what was going on in California. And the Chinese were brought over, and two-thirds of the workforce that built the Transcontinental Railroad were Chinese immigrants that would work hard. They would work all day long, and with basically a breakfast and a supper, which is water breaks throughout the day, they worked hard. They knew a lot about dynamite and nitroglycerin, and they blasted their way through the mountains. And because of the lack of quality of the explosives, many of them were killed, and a lot of sacrifice took place to put that railroad in place. And when it was finished, it opened up a great expansion of this country, and the Industrial Revolution took off, and the West began to be settled with water stations every 25 miles, little towns and little communities sprung up all the way across the West and through the mountains. And it was a great thing for this country. And if you were going west, you could get on a train and you were sure to get there, barring any unforeseen accidents. But mainly, it was a very, very easy ride. It was a comfortable ride, but yet it was a somewhat of a six-day journey, as opposed to a six-month journey by wagon train with all the hardships of weather and with all the hardships of robbery and attacks and so forth. You know, the railroad tracks were laid to allow people to travel to a destination with ease and comfort. And this trip was relatively easy as long as they stayed on track. The destination was sure. The way was literally paved with rails. All the obstacles, for the most part, had been taken out of the way. And all settlers had to do was get on board. And they just had to ride it. A lot of people had done a lot of work for them. And we, many of you, and myself included, we're here today, and we're here because of a lot of people that have really laid a lot of track for us. You know, no one ever got on the right track by themselves. But you know what? It is our responsibility to stay on track. You cannot be pulled off track. You can only step off track. And you know what? Satan will spend your entire lifetime doing his best to get you off track. And you know, because you're going to a specific destination, a destination he doesn't want you to arrive at. And that's serving God with your heart and your life and your mind. That's living a clean and pure and holy life. And the track that has been laid for you, laid for me, laid for all of us up here, it'll get us there. Make no mistake. But Satan will do everything within his power throughout your lifetime and my lifetime to get us off track. He'll use our friends to get us off track. He'll try to get our friends to talk us into going a different direction. To saying, you know, the rails that we're on, the train that we're on, you know what? There are better ways to go, but stay on track. He'll use family sometimes to get us off track. Sometimes the problems at home, or even moms and dads that leave the spiritual life or leave the church that you grew up in. And I'm not against moms and dads, but sometimes Satan will use the hardships of your home life to get you off track, but stay on track. He will use family members that love you and you love them, and aunts and uncles that have invested in your life and helped you along the way to try to talk you or coax you into a different way, but stay on track. He'll use hardships and trials to get you off track. He'll use sickness and death of friends and loved ones to get you off track, but stay on track. He'll use relationships to get you off track, a boyfriend or girlfriend. A relationship that you feel might go the long distance, and all of a sudden you are hurt deeply, and it will pull you off track. I've seen it happen many, many times. A story of a young man that I believe was gifted beyond measure in the ministry that God had a great plan for. And everybody that knew him in high school and knew him in college knew that God was going to use him in a great way. And he had a girl that he loved desperately. In his sophomore year in Bible college, she broke up with him and started dating somebody else. And that grief destroyed him. And all of a sudden, he told his dad, you know, I don't believe God called me to preach. I don't believe that I'm supposed to be in the ministry. And he got off track, and he ended up spending his life for the devil, and he's in heaven today. Sometimes Satan will use finances to get you off track, to get you to misspend your money or the lack thereof. And I can't finish college. I got to work too many hours to pay my tuition. It's just not worth it. I'm getting off track. He'll use sickness and pain, and God may put you through some trials in this area. That's not to get you off track, but Satan will point you to and say, hey, listen, man, you're too sick to go to Bible college. You're too sick to stay on track. You need to get off, and that sickness will cause you or allow you to divert yourself from the path that you're supposed to be on. Satan will use failure in mentors and failure in leaders to get you off track. Don't let that discourage you. Don't let that deter you. Satan has always used that tactic to get others to follow down the path that the mentors have gone. And Satan will always get some, but there are more that will stay on track than fall off track. You stay on track. He will use opportunity to get you off track. He'll give you greener pastures, as we call it. He'll give you opportunities in business, and he'll give you opportunities in life where you can make far more money than you will ever make serving the Lord. But don't buy into that. You stay focused and you stay on track. The fact that you can make money and the fact that you have a good head on your shoulders is evident that God's hand is upon you and God has given you those abilities, but for his use, not for yours. Stay on track. He will use criticism to get you off track. And criticism is a very difficult thing to handle, especially in a young life, because you know what? You want to please and you want to do right. But all of a sudden, people start criticizing you for your stand and criticizing you for your direction and what you believe in. And then you begin to doubt who you are and what you are. And Satan is over there laughing. I'm about to get that person off track. Don't do it. Don't listen to it. You stay on track. He will use failures to get you off track. And things that you do, you fail a class, or you'll get in trouble at school, or you'll do something that's wrong that might cost you some time away from school, but you get back on track. You get on track. You don't let that stop you. He will use false hopes to get you off track, promises from friends and loved ones, or maybe opportunities that missed, or maybe, you know, maybe you tried out for a tour group and didn't make it, and you feel slighted. Don't let that get you off track. Don't let it get you off track. You stay on track. Think of all the time and effort and money that has been spent to get you on track. How many of you have gone to a Christian school? Raise your hand. If you went to a Christian school from grade school, your parents have spent close to $36,000 for your education. $36,000. That could have been a whole new lifestyle for them. That could have been a far nicer house. That could have been a far greater things, more trips, more vacations. But instead, they invested in you $36,000, and I doubt you're an only child. You think of all that effort. You think of the 41 different teachers you've had in school, that if you went to a Christian school, they lived on poverty wages. They've sacrificed when they could have gone across town and taken a few tests and gotten into the public school and made five times as much as you and had all the summers off and not had to work a second job. You think for a second that all that effort and all that time that has been put to putting you on track. You think of all the Sunday school, the 15 or so Sunday school teachers that have prepared Sunday school lessons every Saturday night, that brought you treats every Sunday morning and prayed for you and have guided your life. Hey, you bus kids, Listen to me carefully, you bus kids. You rode a bus to church. Just think how many times somebody got out of their bed on a Saturday morning and went and knocked on your door and begged you to come to church and talked you in and out of trouble and put you maybe in a Christian school or maybe in a City Baptist school and helped pay your tuition. You did not get here by yourself. I'm a self-made man. No, there is no such thing as a self-made man. Anybody that says that's an idiot. You got here, you are here because a lot of people invested in you. There are coaches, there are special leaders for special groups and piano lesson and teachers and instrumental teachers that have helped govern and guide your life to put you on track. Last week I was watching one of the basketball games and I was talking to one of the pastors of the teams that was here, and he pointed out a young man, and I said, pretty good ball player. He said, he's had a rough life. He said, his dad is in heaven. His dad tried to rob somebody a couple of years ago, and the person he was robbing was carrying a weapon and shot and killed his dad. His mother is less than stellar at being a parent, and he has struggled. He has lived just a hellish life, and we got him saved through our bus ministry, and he's going to our Christian school now. He dropped out of our school, went back to the public school in September, came for a couple weeks, went to the public school, went there for several weeks, and called me and said, Pastor, I need to be back in this Christian school. He said, well, you're not coming back to play basketball. You're going to come back to get your life and heart right with God. He said, yes, sir, whatever you say. And he became a stellar young man the last few weeks, and he let him play basketball. And I told the pastor, I said, boy, that's a fortunate young man. I hope he realizes how lucky he is and fortunate he is. I hope he realizes that he has been put on track graciously through the grace and prosperity of God and God's people. He didn't get on track all by himself. It was no accident somebody came and knocked on his door. It was God that led somebody there. And listen to me, young people, we are all lucky in respect as the world looks at it. But God has given us an opportunity to get on track. It was a layman that knocked on my dad's door well over 50 years ago, close to 60 years now, who begged my dad day after day, seeing him at his local business down in Lake Village, Indiana, and finally my dad decided, yeah, I'll go. And my dad went, and then that man and another man came to our house and led my dad to Christ. A few weeks later, led my mom to Christ. And you know what? A lot of people have put a lot of effort into my life for me to be on the right track. I was listening to Pastor tell us the story in our staff meeting yesterday of a man who's standing this very minute at his daughter's bedside in Michigan. She overdosed on drugs and her brain is fried and she is literally on life support and will last, if she's lasted today, she'll only last a few days. And that man, now in church, but men 25 years ago or so, he was registered for Hiles Anderson College. He'd filled out his application. He had his whole file complete. All he needed to do was walk on campus and begin to take classes. But just before that, he decided, you know what, it's not for me. He got off track. He got way off track. He got away from church. He got into drink. He got away from the Lord. And his daughter, who is on her deathbed today, and will never regain consciousness because of a miracle, does not know the Lord. In all that man's life, he never told her how to be saved. You listen to me, listen carefully. You are on track today on purpose. God has put you here. Let me give you a couple quick thoughts, and I'll be done. Number one, sometimes getting bored with staying on board seems like it'll never end. So we get off track thinking we can find a new way. Sometimes going, you know, if you were riding a train from here to the West Coast, you'd be pretty bored along about the other side of Iowa and through Nebraska. Because it's the same thing, mile after mile after mile after mile after mile. But you know, one day you're going to, in a few hours, you're going to end up in California. and you're going to enjoy your destination. Sometimes the ritual, if I may, of the Christian life seems boring, seems tedious. And you know what? Satan always brings up the opportunities and the things that I mentioned earlier and the things that'll divert your attention and divert your way and friends that'll coax you away. But listen to me, you focus right now and you decide right now that you're going to stay on track. Number two, if others have sacrificed and lived through hardships to lay the track, the least you could do is to stay on board. You know, my dad sacrificed a lot of money with eight kids at home going through Christian school and a brother in Bob Jones University. My dad personally gave up a lot of money and several paychecks to help buy this college. I happened to be in the very service where ladies would take off their wedding rings and wedding bands and put those in the offering plate so that you could have this college to go to. And a lot of people have sacrificed and bought buildings and remodeled buildings and worked hard. And the faculty and the staff have sacrificed to be here. You know what? The least you could do is stop griping about your 30 hours a week working and stay on track. The least you could do is focus on studying and get your homework assignments in and pass your classes and graduate and stay on track and serve God with your life. The least you could do is honor all the effort and all the work and all the grief Jack Hiles went through to make this college a reality. The least you could do is stay on track. Number three, just because you can't see down the track doesn't mean you should get off. You know, railroad tracks, you know, the unique thing about them, you don't need to see down the track. You just need to just sit and ride. You know, God puts you on this track, ride it, and enjoy the destination. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. As Paul was trying to tell the people there that, you know what, you stay faithful to God. You stay faithful to the doctrine. You stay faithful to what, you know what, it's going to be good. This is a great life. I hope I have many more years to live, but you know what, thus far, it's been an awesome ride. And God has allowed me to see things and do things that I don't believe I'd ever been able to do, had I got off track. Number four, when the tracks have been sabotaged, you know what? It's not a time to abandon and go back. It's time to stop, fix it, and chug on. Just because a pastor failed in the ministry doesn't mean Christianity isn't any good. Look at me. Just because there's somebody sabotaged the track doesn't mean the destination still isn't there. Those tracks will still lead to a place of great hope and great prosperity in the Christian life. And just because your youth pastor messed up and destroyed your faith, it gives you zero right to turn your face on God. Just because you had a teacher in school that, you know what, they got away from the Lord and they changed their standards and they don't go to church anymore, and boy, you love them, you had great faith in them and they helped you a lot, doesn't give you a right to turn your back on God and God's destination. You don't have to question your destination. It's there. It's good. A lot of us have been there and going there, and you know, a lot before us have gone there, and to live a life that's holy and honorable before the Lord is a good life. Number five. Remember, derailments can be fixed but are costly and time-consuming, so be careful. Before you decide to take that path and stay out of school this next semester, before you decide to, you know what, I need to stay home and work a little bit, and I need to, you know, I need to raise a little more money before I come back. You listen to me, listen carefully. God may not want you to divert your path from the track. He may just want you to spend more time on your knees. If God puts you on track, He had it in mind for you to stay there. You say, well, you know what? I came to college just for my freshman year to give my 13th year to the Lord. You understand that God put you here? And you know whatever hardships you're going through right now, that's happened to many of us before. You look at the pastors out there today, as I was in Canada a few days ago, and Brother Brian Johnston up there serving the Lord for 14 years. I remember him as a student struggling to get through college. Phil and Tanya Palace in London, Ontario, likewise, building a great work for the Lord and doing a great job. Likewise, the hardships they had to go through to get through college, but they did, and still on track for the Lord. And number six, and last, God decided what track you should be on. He decided. If you want to switch trains, remember, the God of this world, the God who created this world and who engineered your life, He'll be at the end of the line to meet you. And I don't know if you're going to be happy about switching trains then. At some point in time, you're going to stand face to face with God Almighty. You're going to stand and God's going to say, you know, I gave you an awesome opportunity. Man, I had 41 teachers put you on track. Your mom and dad, I gave them work and I gave them jobs and you had to sacrifice. They sacrificed working nights to get you through a Christian school. And I got you to Bible college. Tour groups came to your area. And, you know, I've been traveling with the tour groups for a couple of years, and Brother Collins will testify, it's not all fun and games. It's a lot of work. And somehow a tour van made it to your small little church, and you saw a group of girls sing, and your heart was moved. That wasn't an accident. That was God's design. All of a sudden, you felt pricked in your heart. Maybe I ought to go down and check that place out. And your mom and dad said, what are you, nuts? You have an opportunity to go to this college or that college. But God pricked your heart, and your parents acquiesced to it. And you came here, and you listened to me carefully. A lot of work has been put in you. You better be careful about what you decide in the next few weeks. You're going to meet God. You're going to see Him. You're going to look at His face. And your excuses are going to be pretty stupid. Well, you know what? I had a friend, you know, they talked me into going this direction. You know, I was a fundamental independent Baptist, and I was leading our youth group, but you know what? I got into that Reformed theology a little bit. We found that the music was a little bit different in the contemporary lifestyle. You know what? Everybody's doing it, so it's good for me. And it was good for our youth group. God didn't put you on that track. If He had, you'd have gone to another college. You're on this track. I believe God wants you to stay on it. Look back at Colossians chapter 2. I want you to look at it one more time and I'll close. Look in verse 6, if you would please, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Read that with me now. So walk ye in Him. In verse 7 says, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been what? As ye have been what? As ye have been what? Taught. And then the next four words are just awesome to me. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. You're going to do well if you do what you're taught. You're going to do well if you stay on track. You're going to do well if you keep your life moral. You're going to do well if you keep your life holy and consecrated to Him. You're going to do well, and you know what? You're going to be happy about it. It may seem boring to you at this time, but you're going to be happy about it. It may seem like everybody else is going a different direction and having a lot of fun and excitement, but you're going to be happy. Not just happy, it says, but abounding. Abounding. And those of us that have been down a little further down the track than you, we can testify, it's good. It is awesome. And you will be glad. You don't have to stand at your daughter's bedside wondering if she's going to die in a second and go to hell. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Stay on track, kids. A lot of folks have put a lot of time and effort in you. And you're worth it. This is a great group of kids. I adore coming out and teaching on Mondays. I love my class. Great group of guys that love the Lord and have a heart for Him. Guys, I challenge you, stay on track. Stay on track. A lot's been invested in you. Make it worthwhile. And when you get and stand before God, look full in His wonderful face, and you know what? You'll be glad you did. You will be standing around saying, boy, I sure thank my pastor. I sure thank my bus captain. Boy, I thank my school teachers. Man, I thank my college professors. Man, I thank all the preachers at camps and revivals. And I thank that tour group for stopping by our house and stopping by our church. Boy, I thank Brother Collins for all the work he put in the tour group. I thank Miss Adrian for preparing those kids to sing.
you'll be glad with great thanksgiving. Father, we ask your blessing to be upon us today. Give us a wonderful holiday season. And God bless.